We will now hear the other side of the coin from the man who, I don't want to say single-handedly, is trying to take this down, because he certainly isn't doing it by himself, but he was spearheading this at an early stage when the grand bargain came out of the legislature. Talking about retired Saginaw businessman, a former candidate himself in the political sphere, Paul Mitchell, who joins us now on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Paul, you're with the Coalition Against Higher Taxes and Special Interest Deals. You have a website, Say No to Higher Taxes. .com, to explain the no vote and what you would like to see a no vote on Proposal 1. And so far, you've spent a lot less than your opponents. Has this been, before the vote, essentially almost a dream come true campaign?
Well, I wouldn't say dream come true. I think we've seen a lot of feedback from voters that this ballot proposal concerns them. As you know, it's a $2 billion tax increase. And then they start, as people look into it more, they start to question why it is, even at its best, only 60% of the money will ultimately go to the roads, while 40% go to things totally unrelated to transportation at all. And they're starting, you know, they ask questions why, and they're not getting very good answers on that. $2 million is the largest tax increase in 50 years. So they want to see value for their money, frankly, and they don't think this does it.
You feel pretty cut. You've seen the polling that's gone on here. What's your take on turnout? Because we've heard mixed bag here. You know, a low turnout will help those who say safe road. Yes, a high turnout is what they're going for with Democratic surrogates. What's your take on turnout? What will that mean to this particular vote? Or will it matter?
Well, I think for turnout, the first thing we need to say is voters need to get out and vote. Their Facebook posts, their yard signs, their attendance at town halls, those things ultimately don't count until they count ballots at the polls.
Okay.
And as I said, this is a huge issue, both in terms of the taxes, as well as it relates to our roads and bridges that have been neglected for well over a decade. And everybody wants the roads fixed. I do. I don't think anybody says our roads are great. It's just what it costs us to fix them and how we do that. In terms of what type of turnout, I'm not sure it matters. You see the polling indicates that across the spectrum, voters are concerned about this ballot proposal. Some favor it more than others, but I've not seen any mix of voters that overwhelmingly support this ballot proposal. Be it younger, more urban voters or older, more rural voters, they all have serious concerns about the cost of this, other things that are being funded, how this thing came to pass. I mean, you have to remember, this was supposedly a compromise between the House and Senate versions. The high cost was the Senate version of a $1.2 billion increase in gas taxes, and the compromise they brought out to the people is a $2 billion tax hit, which is 58% higher than what they started. That's a pretty amazing outcome.
Paul, would you have opposed this as, let's say, vehemently as you have, If it had raised taxes but been focused strictly on roads?
Well, I think the question, let me put the question a little differently, which is, what is the responsibility of government? It's to respect and use our tax monies responsibly. It's to be efficient with them first. Second of which is to spend the money based on the priorities of the voters and responsibility of government. Step one and step two weren't done with proposal one. They immediately went to step three, which said, basically, if you want your roads fixed, we need $2 billion because we have to use 40% to pay off other things to make other people happy so we can fix our roads. That's a pretty insane combination to think about it.
But Paul, I'm taking it there then. You're saying that you still would reserve the right to, you know, if they didn't meet that litmus test on one and two and they jumped to three, that you still would have said, I reserve the right to oppose that, even if it didn't have the other kitchen sink portion involved, right?
Any knee-jerk increase in taxes that doesn't address those first two priorities is wrong. I'm a fiscal conservative, and it's just wrong. You have to do those things. Now, it may ultimately be they couldn't come up with enough money to fix the roads, but frankly, that effort's necessary and was not done.
Okay, so part of this, if it passes, if it does go through, is basically a pay down on roads from before, and you know, that's been part of the point that's been made by opponents out there. But doesn't that still have to be paid? Doesn't that still have to be addressed? And if it is, and it doesn't come from this, where does that money come from?
Well, we've been paying it down now over the years, so we've been doing that. So it's not like the money isn't there to do that. The reality is, the discussion has been for weeks now that our, and we haven't been doing it, the other side's been doing it, saying our roads aren't safe. If you accept that premise, then we should spend every dime we get our hands on it fixing our roads and making them safe, because there's nothing that mandates paying off that debt this year, next year, the following year, nothing. There's a pay-down schedule on that, and it doesn't mandate doing that. Now, you can come up with all kinds of rationales why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if, in fact, as the campaigns argued, that the safety of our children and our at risk every moment in time we're on the roads, then why is any dime not being spent on the roads?
Was this I was going to ask you here, it's not fair to ask a question you're not really asking, because I want to move on to one last aspect, because we're running short on time, and
sure,
I want to give you a chance here. But, okay, let's assume that you get your way tomorrow, this fails, and that people vote no, whatever percentage, on Proposal 1. So what comes next? What's the answer after that?
And the answer is that the legislators get back to work. We've got a new legislature. This proposal came out from the previous legislature. There have already been a number of proposals put into the House, even supported Proposal 1 in both the Senate and the House, that said that if it fails, they view it as their responsibility to fix the roads. The one thing I will say about Proposal 1 is it has taken the roads and the need to fix the roads to the top of the agenda. It has made them a high-profile item, and they're not going away. So now the question is let's get back to work on identifying a responsible way to fix our roads.
Do you think that's going to happen?
I have confidence it will happen because I see commitment on the part of the legislature. If it does not happen, for some reason it fails, there's been discussion by a number of groups about a citizens' initiative to make that happen. So, there is an alternative if the legislature can't come to grips with it in some reasonable time frame. I think that will happen.
Were you surprised at how much you were outspent in this campaign?
No, I mean, the folks from the Michigan Transportation Association and other folks, they have a direct interest in seeing this pass.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it as either investing in a mutual fund or going to Vegas, but you put a few million dollars in and hopes to get access to the wins, and you have access to a $2 billion tax jackpot every year. It's a rational decision on their part.
What's the next political step for you? If you end up victorious in this, is first a guy hollering in the wilderness, and then maybe surrounded by a lot more trees. You got people who came to your side with this. What's the next political move for Paul Mitchell?
I don't have any political plans. I got involved with this because over the Christmas holidays, I looked at Proposal 1, and I spent the holidays reading all 46,000 words several times. That's a pretty amazing package.
All right.
And I just decided it was wrong.
Okay.
And somebody needs to stand up and say, no, this doesn't make any sense.
All right, Paul Mitchell, thanks for joining us today. We'll see how the vote turns out tomorrow.
Thank you very much.